really thinking. This leadership role falls to Kofor and me, guys with no military experience and only a few visits to South Asia, and never to Afghanistan. Are you kidding? But Kofor, you, and now the president say go, so we go. I get it. As hard and as fast as possible, go. I was already enraged by the attacks on the homeland. Now I was empowered and strangely, absolutely confident about the mission. I was still wary about the politics, about the boundary between intelligence operations and policy. Both my determination and wariness would grow. A few days later, I figured that I should talk with Kofor. The political risk was a factor beyond my reach, and I needed to get his view. I also needed to warn him. I entered his office, closed the door, and sat in a chair directly in front of his desk. He was immobile, waiting. Kofor, I realize that we all have you, but you have nobody. You will cover our ass, but nobody will cover yours. I did not have to explain that I was referring to the political risk, nor was I making any disrespectful allusion to Director Tenet. On the contrary, he had given Kofor the green light and offered unstinting support. But Kofor and I both knew that Tenet, a former congressional staffer with exceptional political abilities, had different responsibilities. He had to protect the agency and the agency's mission in a tough political environment. His mandate was different. He was different. He had never worked undercover, and he had never run an agent. I continued. Kofor, I'm not complaining. I'm ready. We're all ready. I just know that your ass is hanging way, way out. He looked at me with an unusual expression. It was compassion. You know, we're fucked, he said softly. I wasn't sure where he was going, so I just sat quietly. He waited. I still said nothing. His expressions could change instantly. Now he looked at me as though I were an idiot. We are completely fucked. If we lose, we're blamed for everything. They hang us. If we win, everybody in this building hates us and we're finished. They will shoot us in the back of the head. Some already hate us because we have resources and the authority. The Near East Division wanted command and control of this war, but the directors stuck with us. So forget any career. I answered sharply, Do you think I give a rat fuck about a career? We've got thousands dead. All I want is the mission. You gave it to me. I'm grateful. He was just warming up. It's like the Soviet Union in World War II. The political commissars executed the generals who lost. They executed the generals who won. The political commissars are always waiting with guns loaded. That's like here. Either way, we get it in the head. He was standing now, pretending his right hand was a pistol as he shot me between the eyes. He knew how to make his point. You can forget any future in the clandestine service. And even if you somehow survive this building, the politicians downtown will finish you. You get it? You are fucked. Okay, I get it. I'm fucked, I agreed. I understood his point. Good, harsh advice as usual. Just consider yourself dead professionally and politically. Focus on the mission. There is nothing but the mission. I thought that way already, but it was good to hear Kofor put it in his unique, colorful way. Kofor caught his breath and sighed. Your deputy Massey. I told him that he better be as good as I hear or else he's gone. He's very good, I assured him. Well, I hope so. And now, please, get back to work. Situation Room. A few days later, Tenet and I were in the White House Situation Room. National Security Advisor Rice chaired the meeting. Rumsfeld, Card, Secretary of State Colin Powell, Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Myers, and others attended. There were maybe a dozen officials in the small vaulted room. It was my first time there. I sat next to General Wayne Downing, the White House counterterrorism chief. General Downing embodied the U.S. Special Forces. He had led the Special Forces for years. At every meeting that I attended in the Situation Room for the next several months, I would always sit next to General Downing. Although he was military and I was not, we shared a professional bond as clandestine operators. We had a common heritage, rooted in the OSS during World War II, from which the CIA and U.S. Special Forces evolved. I intuitively understood that I could trust him, and we confided in each other more and more. He was a rock. Rice asked Tenet to provide an update, followed by General Tommy Franks, who was piped in via secure video from CENTCOM HQS in Tampa. Others added their views. There were some questions about Afghanistan, and I provided some short answers. I was cautious in my responses. I did not know this environment. It was making sense. All of the people here were sticking to their roles as I had imagined them. They were all calm and polite. They were rational. Then it got weird. With no prelude, prompt, or reference point that I could fathom, Wolfowitz launched into a monologue. "Iraq. We must focus on Iraq. 9/11 had to be state-sponsored. Iraq is central to our counterterrorism strategy." He spoke with great emphasis. There was a short pause with no response. So he lectured in this vein for another couple of minutes. Then he stopped as abruptly as he had started. There was a heavy silence around the table. I looked around the room. Still nobody said anything. "What is he smoking?" I wondered. There was nothing in our intelligence collection or analysis that implicated Iraq in 9/11. On the contrary, Saddam Hussein was a secular despot with no affinity for AQ ideology or for AQ as an ally of convenience. While Saddam was a terrorist and supported terrorist groups, especially those in the radical Palestinian networks, he saw AQ as more of a threat than an ally. Moreover, AQ had organized, trained, and plotted the 9/11 attack from Afghanistan, not Iraq. I sat mum. It seemed too strange to warrant a response, particularly for me, the new guy, policy rookie, field spook. But neither did anybody else challenge Wolfowitz. I dismissed the commentary as temporary contorted logic, an aberration of an otherwise intelligent and responsible policy leader. I had no idea what would unfold in the next couple of years. One thing at that meeting struck me, besides Wolfowitz wandering into Iraq. That was the imperative to meet General Tommy Franks. He was the warfighter. I had to serve the policymakers, the political leadership in Washington, but I also needed a military partner, just as my teams in Afghanistan would need special forces and the concerted power of the U.S. armed forces, especially air power. The CIA paramilitary arm was tiny and weak in terms of raw kinetic firepower. I knew that our mission would fail without military partners at both a strategic level in the United States and an operational level in Afghanistan. Stateside, that had to be CENTCOM, not the Pentagon. When I returned to my office, I told my staff to get me an appointment with General Franks in Tampa. The sooner the better. I would take Colonel Ben Clark, my CENTCOM military advisor, with me. The Rabbit Warren. Within days, our new entity, dubbed CTC Special Operations, had expanded to more than 50 rabidly dedicated officers, scrambling in a disciplined frenzy of duty and revenge. There were another 50 in the UAV Predator shop, which had been shifted to my command. We did not rant and rave about our intended vendetta. We did not even discuss our motives. There was no need. Our space had expanded from the single tiny office. We now worked in a rabbit warren of low-ceiling offices in the basement of HQS. The small corridors and offices were jammed with computer terminals, extension cords, copiers, cold-weather gear, backpacks, medical kits, books, briefing binders, communications gear, and some technical stuff that I could not identify. We taped maps on available wall space. In my office, I posted a copy of a statement that the great British explorer Ernest Shackleton had used during his recruiting campaign for his 1914 Antarctica expedition. Officers wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Nothing better than honest advertising, I figured, especially if we wanted to attract the best.